Shalom Aleichem, sweetest friends. We are going to be learning about the importance of Yemei HaOmer, and we are going to be basing ourselves in the Sefer Afikei Mayim, which is a very, very deep Sefer based on the Shiurim of Rav Moshe Shapira of Yerushalayim Mir HaKodesh, whom I've been zocha to hear now for about 2 decades. And the Shiur should be Le'uli Nishmas, Naftali Hertz, Ben Alter Avram, and Aaron Ben Yaakov Shachna. The Gemara in Maseches Megillah and Daf Tes Zayin of an Aleph relates that Haman went to get Mordechai with the levushim, the sus, with the clothing, with the horse, and he sees that he was teaching them the halachas of kmitza, of how to do the avodah in the mincha. Which mincha? Rashi there says it was the 16th of Nisan, and it was the day of Tnufas HaOmer. So they were learning in Yanei Omer. They were learning. We know that on the 16th of Omer we bring the Karban HaOmer, this barley offering. And the Gemara relates there at the end that Haman said that your little bit of Omer is going to be doche my 10,000 kikare kesef. Little tiny bit of Omer is going to beat me. Bekoach HaOmer, we're going to be able to beat Haman. So we have to understand what the shaychus is. What's the koach of the Omer that beats Haman? How does the Omer relate to Haman? Haman wanted to destroy us, and we have a carbon Omer that's very nice. That on the 16th of Nisan, we bring this barley offering. Beautiful. But how does that destroy Haman? It says in the Torah, in Vayikra, Perkov Gimel, Pasuk Yud Aleph, V'heinifes Omer lifnei Hashem l'ritzonchem. We wave the Omer in front of Hashem. L'ritzonchem. It has to be with our will. And it says in the Medrash, in Torah Kohanim, in Parashat Seyud, Osei, that we don't force the tzibur to bring this karban haomer. Now, this doesn't really make sense, because about all karbanos it says l'ritzono, and nevertheless, if somebody doesn't want to bring a karban, we still force him. Like Rashi says in Vayikra, Perek Aleph, Pasuk Gimel, and the Gemara also says, Melamit shekofeno so'achi omer rotzani. L'ritzono means he has to want it. How does he want it? We force him until he says, I want it. So it's also considered l'ritzono, even if you force the person. And yet here about the Omer, the Gemara Dad, the Medrash Darshins, no. That since it says l'ritzono, it has to be with the person's, with the people's will, you can't force them. But l'ritzono come in, you force him, and he wants to. And the Lashon of the Rambam is well known in the second parak of Hilchos Geirushin, Halacha Chaf. There the Rambam says, V'al misha tukfo yitzro levatol mitzvah l'asas aveira. Person sometimes doesn't want to do a mitzvah, wants to do an aveira. And in the end, his arm is twisted a little bit. And then he does what he's supposed to do, or he doesn't do what he's not supposed to do. This is the Rambam. That this person was just overtaken by his yetzer hara. But in the Pnimius, he really wants to do the right thing. And therefore, in certain instances, when we're allowed to force a person to give his wife a get, it's not considered a coerced get, because deep down the pnimius haratzon, this is only in certain instances, we don't always force, but in certain instances when we do force the person to give a get, we don't say that it's a get musa, because we say that deep down, he really wants to do the right thing. And when he's beaten up, we're sort of removing his Yetzer Hara, and now we get down to what he really wants to do. So again, you see this notion that when a Jew does the right thing, even if he's forced to do the right thing, but Pnimius, that's really what he wants to do. Deep inside, that's his true desire. So if that's the case, why then does the Medrash Darshan, that with respect to the Omer, L'ritzono means uncoerced, without being compelled. They have to actually want it, and if they don't want it, then they don't do it, and they're not forced. Why is that? Even if they're forced, it's still l'ritzonam. And they're mekayim the pasuk that it's l'ritzonchem. That they want to do it. Even if they're forced, they want to do it. But here, about the Omer, it says no. Here they have to want to do it on their own. So in order to answer these questions, first we have to hear what the Gra says. The Gra in Ma'aser Rav said that after Pesach, one should sit and learn B'prishas Gadol Emeod. One should mamas separate himself from the world, and during the Yemei HaSfira, he should be Osek B'Torah, because these are days of Hachana L'Kabbalas HaTorah, and therefore you have to take these days very, very seriously. Sfira Sa'omer are Hoichat Zeit in very, very high times. And even more, says Rav Shalom Sharabi, great Makubal, in his Sefer Nahar Shalom on page 64, there he says, Kabbalistic in Yanim, that we need these 49 days to be mevatel the achiza of the chitzonim. The chitzonim, the dark side, the external forces, they're trying to grab us during these 49 days. We have to overcome them because the first night of Pesach was only something temporary. We had a great nes. But after that, from the second day of Pesach and on, we have to work very hard. Afterwards, we went back to our nature. And we have to be Osek and Hamshachas HaMochin. If you know what that means, you're a Mekubal. But we have to raise ourselves to a very, very high spiritual level. And La'at La'at Tzubisluch Tzubisluch, we elevate ourselves during the 49 days. Every day we know there's a Midah, there's Chesed Sheba Chesed, and Chesed Sheba Gvur, and Chesed Sheba Tiferes, and Yesod, and Malchus, and Hod. So in each day, and then we have all of the seven Midos, and then we combine all seven with the other ones, with the other six. Each one, we know each week, you read, it's printed in all the Sidurim. You don't have to be a great Makubal for that. And we work on our Midos, we work on ourselves, we elevate ourselves. And that's our Avodah during these times. And then he says something that I wouldn't say on my own, but it says Rav Shalom Sharabi, HaMakubal HaLoki, V'yamim Elohim Sharish L'chol Yamos HaShana. All of the Yamos HaShana, all of the years dependent upon Omer. And the way we go during Sfiras HaOmer is the way we're going to go throughout the whole year. So the Igra Madrega of a person is determined during the Sfira, not during the Yamim Noraim. That's scary. And if he doesn't do the job during the time of the Sfira, then the Yamim Noraim aren't going to help him so much. And in the Sifrei Kabbalah and the Sifrei Mapnimim, they were Marich and they discussed at great length the Chashivus of these days of Sfira, to really work on ourselves, to really elevate ourselves, to become more spiritual, to connect more to the source of all existence. So we have to understand the Mahus, the essence of these days. So it says in the Kisvei Ari and the Sefer Pri Eitz Chaim and Shar Sfira Sa'omer Perek Zayin, that Omer is Begematria Keri. We know there's the Karban HaOmer that we've been talking about, this barley offering that we bring on the 16th of Nisan. Omer, Ayin Mem Reish, Ayin is 70, Mem is 40, that's 110, and then Reish is 200, that's 310. And that's Begematria Keri, which is seed, which is chance. 310. What's the relationship between Omer and Keri? So the Arizal also said, B'siyata D'shmaya, B'li Neder, we'll get to this in another shir, that Omer is B'gematria Yesh. That Omer is the same gematria as Yesh. Yesh is, it is, it existence. Also 310. In other words, the entire Yesh, all of existence, the Gansa Bri, all of creation, is dependent on the Omer. You ever heard such a thing? We learned in a previous shir that there's also a bris with the Omer, just like there's a bris milah. So what's the Seder HaBrisos? What's the order of these brisos? On the night of the 15th of Nisan, we had a tremendous ha'oro. Laila kayom yoyer kachashecha ka'oro. It was mamish light that night. It was a lichtike nacht. And that's why that day, Mamish had a halach of day. That's how the Jewish people, the famous Kasha, says they did Bris Mila that night. How can you do Bris Mila at night? Mila is not Ksheira Balayla, but that night was day. That's also one of the answers given as to how we can say Hallel. You know how to say Hallel at night? We only say Hallel during the day? The answer is, Leil Pesach is day. So that was Mamash Ahara. That was a great light, the night of Pesach. And that light came by virtue of the Bris Milah and the Korban Pesach. The two bloods, the blood of Korban Pesach and the blood of Milah. That there was a revelation of the lofty existence of God, and there was no more Teva in the world, and we left Egypt. And that's why the first day of Pesach is called Shabbos, because Shabbos is, as one of my teachers used to say in Yeshiva many years ago, Shagrirut ha'olam hazeh, ha'olam haba ve'olam hazeh. It's the embassy of Olam Haba, planted right here in Olam Hazeh. We all know that if you're living in New York City and you walk into the Chinese embassy, Al pi achok ha'bein lumi, according to international law, you're in China. And if you're living in Denmark and you walk into the Japanese embassy, Al pi achok ha'bein lumi, you're in Japan. And if you're zochet to live in Yerushalayim Eir HaKodesh, and you walk into the Canadian embassy, so Al pi Torah, you're still in Eretz Yisrael, that's for sure. You still have to keep mitzvot hatluyos ba'aretz, etc. And you're mekayim the mitzvah of Yeshivas Eretz Yisrael. But Al pi achok ha'bein lumi, you're in Canada. So too, lahavdil, Shabbat, hi shagrirut ha'olam haba ba'olam hazeh, Shabbos, is the Olam Habadika embassy right here in Olam Hazeh. That's Leil Pesach, the first day of Pesach. It's called Shabbos in the Torah, Mimachar says Shabbos, because that's Mamish, this great light, this great inspiration. It's Olam Haba came down, dipped into Olam Hazeh a little bit on that day. However, Mimachar says Shabbos, now we have a new bris. After the first day that we had the bris of the Korban Pesach and the bris Milah, now we have a new bris. It's not enough. The bris milah is nishginik. It's not enough. Because bris milah only is in the eighth day, as we discussed in a previous year. It represents the nisim ha'gadolim, the nisim ha'mefursamim, those great miracles. Now we start on the 16th of nisan on the next day. We have the bris ha'omer, which, as we also discussed in a previous year, b'siyata d'shmaya, from this sefer, talks about That Bris Milah represents this world. That's the seven sevens. Seven is always in this world. And that's the Bris of Teva. And from there we get to the fact that everything is Nisim Gedolim before Samim, and that's what leads us up to the 50th day, Shar Hanun, which is above nature, and that's when HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes back down to us and reveals Himself. And that's why in the first day of the Svira we bring a Korban HaOmer, which is Machal Pehema. And then on the 50th day we have the Lechem HaPapa, the Shtei HaLechem, which is Machal Adam, which is Chitim, which is wheat. So we go from being a Behema to being an Adam, but we're trying to, the Avod of Svira HaOmer, is that the Metzias HaTivis, all of our natural inclinations, our animalistic inclinations, should be elevated to a madrega of bris. They should be part of the covenant with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the avod of the Omer, to take our nature and to purify it, le'adenoto, to make it more gentle, to make it more spiritual. And now we understand why the Omer is b'gematria keri. The estate in Pusik, im telchu imi keri, if you go with me by chance. Because the Omer is Bechinas Teva, that it looks like Keri, it looks like Mikre. There's also obviously a relationship between Keri and Keri, but that's not our discussion right now. It looks like nature. That's this world. So what is the Omer supposed to do? Through the Korban Omer and through the Svira, it is revealed, like the Ramban writes famously, She'ein la'adam chelek b'torat Moshe Rabbeinu ad she'na'amin b'chol dvareinu mikreinu she'kulam nisim ein b'hem teva u'minago shel olam bein b'rabim bein b'yachid. That we have no chelek in the Torah of Moshe Rabbeinu until we believe that everything that happens to us is Alts Nisim, everything is a miracle. There's no nature. There's no Minhago Shel Olam. Everything is from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's the purpose of the publicized miracles, to make us realize that everything is essentially a miracle. And that's why Omer is carry, carry is chance. The Omer tries to take us and show us that all of this chance is really mechuvin from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There is a guiding hand. So the Ka, the Omer, has the koach to reveal the yesh of the Bria, to show that everything that is, all of existence, really comes from a higher source. So we have this yesh. When we look at the yesh, when we look at the Bria, it looks like Keri, it looks like it's all by chance. And we, as the Am HaNivchar, have to know and have to show the world that no, it's not chance, it's really all Omer, it's all from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That this carbon of Omer and on, we bring this carbon of the animal, and every day we work on another Midah, and we take our animalistic selves, and we work and we work and we work. And there's a great book I would like to recommend called Usfartim Lachem, written by Makobel, where he goes through all the different, every day of the Omer, and tells us what the avod of that day is. A book written for the layman, so it's worthwhile having. And then we work and work and work, and that completes our bris of the Torah, and then we work towards the Torah, and then after we've done our own avod, HaKadosh Baruch Hu reveals himself to us in the 50th day. And that is why we read the klalos in Parashas Bechukosai. It says that if we don't keep the bris, we're going to get a terrible klala. If we're halachta mimi kari, if we say everything is chance, I'm going to go with you with kari. Ve'avesi aleichem cherev nokemis nekam bris. Again, we keep talking about this covenant we have with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and if we don't keep the covenant, oy vavoy. Vim bezos lo tishmuli ve'alachta mimi bekari ve'alachti mochem bechamas kari. Again, the kari, the bris. Because that we have this bris with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and this covenant was made in order to show that this mahalach of mikra, that all of the chance, everything that looks like chance in this world, is for us to see that bepnimius and yanim, it's all from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's why that's the bris of Eretz Yisrael, that Eretz Yisrael is a land where we live with nature. We have to work the land. We have to netatem kol eitz kisavo al aretz netatem kol eitz. We come here and we plant and we plow and we reap and we harvest and we work the field and we live a life of nature. And that's why Zohar says the Meragim didn't want to come into Eretz Yisrael. They wanted the Hanhag and Nisus of the Midbar. And we say, no, 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 we want to come into Eretz Yisrael. We want to see Hashem through nature. And that's why if we don't keep Shemitah, if we don't see that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Adon Haaretz, then we don't deserve Eretz Yisrael. That's the relationship between being kicked out of the land and not keeping Shemitah. But anyway, back to our main point, that if we go with Keri, if we say it's chance, if we see this, say the Master of the Universe is not with us within nature, within Teva, we're not Zocha to Eretz Yisrael, because Eretz Yisrael is seeing God through nature. And really, what's the whole idea of bris? Bris is do or die. Either we show that we have this covenant with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and we're with him and we're on his team, and then everything will be wonderful. But if not, oy vavoy, oy vavoy, oy vavoy, then we get the klalos, we get all the alos. Because what's the idea of bris? Why is bris do or die? Why is it that either we keep it and it's wonderful, or we don't keep it and we're finished? Why is there no middle ground? The answer is that our very existence depends on Torah. That if we keep the Torah, we exist. If we don't keep the Torah, we're destroyed. Like the Ramban says, famously in Parashas Bereishis, Perek Vav Pasuk Yudches, that bris is milashon bri'as. It's a shortening of the word Brias, creation. And what this means is that if we keep the Bris, then we have Brias, then we exist, then creation can exist, because by keeping the bris, if we keep this covenant with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then we relate the world to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we know that nature comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and then we have a right to exist. But if not, if we're made for the bris, if we don't keep this, if we revoke this covenant, then we no longer have a right to exist, we no longer have a right to have a bria, because the bria is totally in the bris. And that's why it's so important to keep the covenant with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. That's why it's do or die. Either we have the bris, we have the covenant with the Kadosh Baruch Hu, and we deserve to exist. If not, then chas v'shalom otherwise. And that's why the knisa lebris is with klalos and with alos. Why? Because if we keep the bris, then it's wonderful, it's terrific. But if we don't keep the bris, then we're mafkia ourselves, we remove ourselves from the mitzias, from existence, from reality, from life. And then automatically, the klalos come, these curses come, these punishments come, which are the opposite of existence. And in fact, we find in history that horrible gzeros were decreed upon the Jewish people throughout the generations. And we know specifically in Or HaChaim, Sof Siman Kuf Pei Dalid, about the Misas Rebbe Akiva. This was the time that the Talmidei Rebbe Akiva died. Why dafka this time? Why is this a time of Puranus? Because it's interesting. In the Torah, we don't read anything about Misas Rebbe Akiva, and about Avelus during the Sfira, and about not shaving, and not listening to music. The Torah doesn't say a thing about that. All the Torah says is, bring the Omer, count for 50 days, 49 we know it really means, then Shavuos Mazel Tov. But where does the Mises Rebbe Akiva and all the Avelus come in? The answer is that this is a time that we're being Koreis, the Bris, we're creating this covenant with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And if we don't keep the covenant, Im Anachnu Sotim Letzadim, Anachnu Pogim Beguf Efsherut Shel Akiyum, we are impinging on our very existence. This is the time of the creation of the covenant. So after we already made the covenant with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then things aren't as serious. But at the time when the covenant is being created, B'Shas HaBris, if we don't keep the Tanai of the Knisa LaBris, then there's no existence at all. This is the time when we create our reality, we create our existence. So if one is already has existence, one is already in the covenant, then he doesn't have to worry as much. He's in it. But when you're creating the covenant, you have to be a lot more careful, a havdil. Boy and a girl are going out, and they're deciding whether or not to get married. So at that time, every little action is going to be koveya. Am I going to marry this person? Or am I not going to marry this person? But once you're already married, and the guy sees that his wife is has a temper, every so often she gets a little bit angry, and she walks out of the room in a huff. He's not going to divorce her. Once a month she walks out of the room in a huff. It's her wife, it's his wife. He has 6 children with her. He built a life. You don't get divorced on things like that. For things like that. Chas v'shalom. But when he's dating her, and he sees her do it once a month, she walks out in a huff. So then he thinks, okay, so maybe she has issues with her anger. Maybe I don't want to marry her. She sees that he's lazy. So when they're married for 25 years, and twice a week he misses minyan, he sleeps late, not going to divorce him. But when they're dating, she calls him up at 9:30 in the morning, and he answers sleepily, oh. She's not so sure she wants to marry this Atzlan. That's Shas HaKnisa LaBris. So LaHavdil, when we're making a bris with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so when we're ready in the covenant, so afterwards, if we step a little bit to the side here and a little bit to the side there, lo nora, it's not the end of the world. But when we're making the covenant, B'Shas Krisis HaBris, we have to be extra special, careful, because then the bris won't take effect. And then we have no existence and we have no reality, and that brings upon terrible punishments. And that's why B'Sha'as Matan Torah, that we went into the Bris of Torah. And it says in Hosea and Perek Gimel Pasuk Zayin Vehemak Adam Avru Bris. And even though we were going into the Bris of Torah, we were over on the Bris, we transgressed the Bris, and therefore we were chayev to be destroyed, as it says in Shemos Perek Lamed Beis after the Chet Egel Azov. Ve'ata, and now says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, ani chali ve'achal oisem karaga. Let me be, and I will destroy the Jewish people. Why were we chayev klaya? This is such a kavaldic time. The answer is, because when it's Shas HaKnisa LaBris, if we don't fulfill our task, if we don't do what we're supposed to do, then this is a very critical time, then the punishment is severe, fast and furious. In the end, Baruch Hashem, we remained alive. But that was the Chiyuv. Hanich Ali says to Moshe, let me be and I'll destroy them. And also at the time of the Gzeirah of Haman, this was a time when we were supposed to renew our brisah with Torah Shebaal Peh. And we were also chayav kloya at that time. Why are we supposed to be destroyed? Because it was Shas HaKnisa LaBris. And when it's in the time of Bris, we have to be extra special careful, extra specially careful. Because Bris is Kiyum, Bris is Brias, Bris is existence. And if one is coming into existence, one isn't extra specially careful that it's done properly, then one makes himself not exist. And that's the klala, and that's the chas v'shalom, the curse and all the punishments. And that's really the time of the Svira, which we called, the Medrash calls Bris Homer, that this is the time when we're going into the Bris with HaKadosh Baruch Hu to see Him through nature, to see that all the Nisim HaNistarim are really from all of nature is really Nisim Nistarim. HaTeva B'Gematria Elokim, 86-86. Nature is Hashem. And since the Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva didn't succeed in rooting in the Jewish people the Kiyum HaBris that was incumbent upon them, which I'm hoping we get to in a different shir, Bli Neder B'Siyata D'Shmaya. Since the Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva didn't do their job, so Mimela, there was a terrible, horrible plague, a punishment, and 24,000 of them died in this period. And now we understand the famous Takon in the Gemara of Ezra Sofer to read the Klalos of Bichukosai before Shavuos, even if it wouldn't fall out that way in our Kriya Sator, which it does. Usually Bichukosai is around Shavuos. But even if it wouldn't be, even if Bichukosai wouldn't fall out around Shavuos, it wouldn't matter. There's still Takon of Ezra to read Bichukosai before Atzeres. Because the days of the Omer are the Shas Maisa, that's the time of the Bris. And therefore we have to be Makabel, the Bris B'Shlemus, before Atzeres, and then we complete the Bris of Torah before Shavuos. And then we complete this Bris of Torah. And since what we're trying to do is we're trying to take the Metzius of Keri, that everything is chance, and turn it into Metzius of Yesh, that this existence is all rooted in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So we read the Klal of Bichukosai to tell us that if we do, if we realize what the source of all of this carry is, all of this chance that it's all HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then we get the brachas. In Bichukosai, Teilechu, V'nasati Kishmechem B'itam, etc., etc., etc. V'nasati Shalom Baretz, and we'll have peace in the Middle East, Gevaldik. That's if we keep the Bris. If we don't keep the Bris, then there's no peace in the Middle East. It's not up to politicians. And it's not peace talks. And it's not Oslo. And it's not all the different places that they meet up. It's not going to happen. Peace is not going to happen in the White House, on the White House lawn. Now with Jimmy Carter on Wester Dat. And Menachem Begin. If you're as old as I am, maybe you remember the peace treaty with Egypt's sweetest friends. We want peace in the Middle East. True peace. Lasting peace. In Bichukosai Teileichu. Then we'll have Shalom Shleimus here. But if we don't, then we're mafki ourselves. We take ourselves out of the Bris. And then we have no existence, Rachmana Litzlan. And we've seen the outcome. of not having an existence, unfortunately. Those who know what goes on in Eretz Yisrael, as we all do, know how difficult it is when we see this, when the existence of Jews sometimes turns into a non-existence. And now, ken men oichet v'ashtein, anachnu gam yicholim lavin. Lama dafka b'korban ha'omer en kofim et atzibur. Why here don't you force the people to bring the korban, we said? Even though it says l'rtzonchem, it doesn't matter. Huh. We want to do it, even if we're forced, because that's our pnimius haratzon. So, anytime there's kfiyah, there's coercion, it's still considered will. So why dafka here by the omer do we say that no, if they don't want to bring it, you can't force them. It's really not, it's not considered their will. The answer is, the reason when you coerce somebody into doing a mitzvah, that is his pnimius haratzon, and that's really what he wants to do. That's only because the ratzon was implanted there in the first place. So even after he sinned, they still have, the person still has b'pnimius, so deep, deep inside he wants to do the right thing. However, what does the omer do? The omer is what puts that ratzon within us in the first place. Ha'omer mashrish me'ikara etzem abrit shemiyaches otanu limakor ha'elyon. The omer causes the very covenant to take root within us, and that's what relates our true will to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But if the omer itself is brought with kfiyah, there's no pnimius haratzon to start with. The ratzon only begins with the omer. That's why we have the ratzon to follow HaKadosh Baruch Hu's covenant. But if we don't, if even this is coerced, if the etzem habris is coerced, then we don't have the will to start with. So that's not called doing it with goodwill. The will is only after the covenant has already been implanted within us. Only then we could say that whatever we do, even if we're forced to do it, deep, deep inside we really want to do it. We really want to do what Hashem says. That's only after the fact. But when we're determining whether or not we have the covenant in the first place, there you can't say that if we're forced we really want it, because we don't have the covenant in the first place. And that's what the Omer is. The Omer is the Hashrashas HaBris in the first place. And now we can also understand how this Omer, this little bit of Korban Omer, is Doche, the Aseres HaLofim Kikar Kesef, the billions of dollars that Haman was offering to Achashverosh to kill the Jews. Because what's the uniqueness of the Purim miracle that we see on? So anes mitocha teva, everything looked natural, but it was really from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It showed us that minhago shel olam, that everything is nisim nistarim, and mikoach zeh we were mekabel the Torah may ratzon. Because we saw that everything in this world is from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Everything in this world is from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Everything in this world is Torah, so we were makabel the Torah again. So that's why our Omer, what is the Omer? The Omer is the avoda of this world. It's finding Hashem through nature, like we said, the seven sevens. It's avodas hamidos. It's causing the Torah to take effect on the animal. It's bringing ourselves from Madregas Behema to Madregas Adam. So since the Omer shows us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is even within nature, so that's really what brought about the Nes of Purim. And Haman said, I can give all the money in the world, but your little Korban Omer is gonna vanquish, is gonna defeat, is gonna overcome, overpower all of my money. Because now you recognize that everything is Nisim Nistarim. And part of the miracle, in fact, was Haman himself wrote about the Yeshua. Eis Sarah LeYaakov, the Pasuk says, U'mimena Nivasheya. It's a time of Sarah for the Jewish people. It's a time of crisis for the Jewish people. U'mimena Yivasheya, the crisis itself, from the crisis itself we're going to be saved. The crisis is going to be the source of salvation. And as the Sfas Emes says, Umimena osios ume Haman yivashaya. From Haman we're going to be saved. Haman prepared the tree that he was hanged upon. Haman was the one who got knocked Vashti off. That paved the way for Esther to come in and save the Jewish people. Haman was the one who had the horse and the lavush. He prepared that. Achashverosh says, Haman, what should I do to somebody who I really like? And he says, ah, you should take the horse and your clothing, and they should call in front of him, Kacha yaseh la'ish, asher ha'melech ha'veitz bikaro. This is what you do to somebody who the king likes. And who did that end up being? That ended up being Mordechai. Haman is the source of our salvation. All of Nes, all of Teva is a Nes. And that's what we saw on Purim, and that's in the Schus of the Omer, that realizing that all of Teva is really a Nes, seeing the source of all the Yesh, that the Keri is really Yesh. And that this Yesh comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And this whole Yesh is Talui in the Omer. Remember, Gematria Dein Kedein, it's all 310. We have to see that all the Yesh is really rooted in the Omer, that it's all from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And now we can understand the Hoichkeit, why these days are so lofty and so elevated. And as we saw in the Rashash, that the essence of man is going to be determined during the Yemei Sfira, and Dafka not during the Yamim Noiraim. Why? Because this is the time of Krisis HaBris. Not the Yamim Noiraim. The Yamim Noiraim, we say, Uksov L'chaim Tovim Kol B'nei Brisecha. There we're already in the Bris. Once we're part of the covenant, we ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu, write us for life. But here, during this period, we're determining, are we part of the covenant? Are we part of the Bris Omer or not? And that's the Avod of the Yemei HaSfira. This, from Pesach to Atzeres, is Shas HaBris. And that's why it's so important during this time, not only to count the Omer, not only to say today is 5 weeks and 3 days. It's not only a matter of counting. It's really a matter of avoda, of working on yourself. Every day we go up, every day we're supposed to elevate ourselves, to make ourselves, to put ourselves within the covenant of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And if we put ourselves within the covenant of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then we have life, we have brias, we have creation. And if not, then oy vavoy, like it says in Bechukosai, it's mamish do or die. So we should all be zocha during these Yemei HaSfira, to have a hisalus. We should elevate ourselves, and we should also be zocha to elevate all of those around us. And that's the Rav Avodas Amidos. That's through to be noe kavod zeh bazeh, to be metaka in the Talmidei Rebbe Akiva. Weren't noe kavod zeh bazeh. It says that in the Medrash, that after 120, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to ask us whether we were mamlich HaKadosh Baruch Hu on ourselves. Did you make God king? That everybody knows you have to make God king. But it also says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to ask us, Himlachta chavercha lecha. Did you make your friend feel like he was king over you? And that's really our avoda, to walk around making people feel like they're kings. Recently I read a story, in very, very beautiful biography, of Rav Shlomo Freifeld Zatzal, the founder and Rosh Yeshiva of Shaar Yashiv in Far Rockaway. I think now it moved to Lawrence. And it says that one time he went to visit a woman who was lying in a hospital bed, and he spoke with her for a few minutes, and then he left the room. And after this visit, they saw a marked improvement in her condition. And we know that Ruach Ish Yichalkel Machaleihu, that the spirit of man will support him in his time of illness, that a person's emotional state has a great influence on his physical state. So that people understood that it was the visit of Rav Freifeld that helped this woman feel better. And they couldn't understand what he said to her, what magical potion, what words he said to her that helped her physical state improve so much. And Rav Freifeld said, I don't know. I don't know. I just told her who she is. That's all. I just told her who she is. And that's such a beautiful avoda in this world, to walk around seeing the milas in other people and then telling them about it. I think just about everybody has some deep sense of insecurity. That's why people enjoy a compliment, because if a person knew 100% that it was true, he wouldn't really enjoy it. He knows that it's true. But when somebody else recognizes it, it brings home the point that maybe it's true, maybe I really am smart, maybe I really am generous, maybe it's true that I'm kind, maybe it's true that I'm friendly, whatever the mida is. But when somebody tells you about it, so it makes you feel that it's really true, and then you feel good about yourself. And when you feel good about yourself, it's a completely different world. So if you, the biggest chesed you could do for somebody else is to go up to them and tell them who they are. Tell them in what way they're special. Make them feel like a king. Show them how they're more special than you are. A lot of times people try to think, no, I'm better, I'm good at this, and he's not good at this. Can only get pleasure if they have what somebody else doesn't have. That's diametrically opposed to what the Torah wants. The Torah wants, fakert, that we should get pleasure that somebody else has what we don't have. Ah! And then you can make him feel, you're a king. You're a king. Look at you. You're so studious. You do all your work. You learn. You remember what you learned. You chazer. Wow! I really envy that. I have to learn from you. And you walk up to each person and you tell them. You can make a person feel so good. It's so easy. I saw recently the Zohar HaKadosh, Mamish Pachat Pchodim. The Zohar says in Parshas Mitzora, that just like a person's punished for the bad words that he says, for the Shlechta Werter, I don't think he said it in Yiddish, although I'm sure Shimon Bar Yochai spoke a fluent Yiddish and wore a Sparuk and a Kapote and a Bekeshe. He wore a Hasidic garb, he wore a gartel. I'm sure there's no question. I'm joking anyway. The Zohar says that just like a person is punished for the bad words that he says, he's also punished for all the good words that he could have said and refrained from saying. Wowie, wowie. I have a chavrusa with somebody on Thursday nights and we learned the Sefer Be'er Moshe of the Ozhurover. So I want to highly recommend that Sefer. It's really Shavu L'chol Nefesh. Anybody can understand it. Anybody who can read it. So he quotes the Zohar in that Sefer. He quotes lots of Zohars. But that Zohar made an especially strong impression on me. If you could say a good word and you don't, Chas v'shalom, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will take you to the task. And that's why in this Tkufa we have to be Mechabed Zedzen to really try to show every person how special he or she is. And in that Tzchus we'll come into the Bris of Torah and we'll be Zoche on the 50th day on Shavuos to be Mechabel Torah and to have all the Giluyim and all the Oros. And we should be Zoche very soon to see the ultimate Gilui of Bias Mashiach Tzidkenu, Umala Ha'aretz, Deos Hashem K'mayim Liyom Mechasim, and the whole world will be filled with knowledge of God. B'mheira V'yameinu, Amen V'yamein. Shalom, shalom, sweetest friends.